is for Hillary.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion.
Like a single word can make a heart open.
I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion.
Back our life song.
Prove we're all right, song.
This is The Generic Live Show.
My power
with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, that's right. Fight song from Rachel Platten. If you don't know what that song is,
I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
Oh dear God. So this is by, it's produced by Elizabeth Banks, Bruce Coleman, and Mike Tompkins, and it features actors and musicians to cover for Hillary Clinton to Rachel Platten's Fight Song, who, by the way, she came out to this, by the way, and dear God, it was so bad. I get music stuff at this convention. It happens, you know. You really, you want to show your support for people, that's fine, I get that, but creating something that is a cappella and making an official music video out of it, I'm going to make fun of you. I'm just saying. Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. We will continue now with speakers from the Democratic National Convention. We will talk about Hillary Clinton and her fight song a little bit later on in the program. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about Hillary fighting her fight song, because she's got a little bit of fight left in you. I actually like that song, by the way. Actually, I actually used to like that song. But Hillary Clinton kind of ruined it for me. Why must you do that? We'll get to now Bill Clinton. I have report cards. By the way, if you're just joining us this hour, I'm giving report cards to those keynote speakers at the Democratic National Convention. Did this last week. It was a bunch of fun. It's sort of not as fun this week, and I'll tell you why. It's not fun this week, and I'll tell you why. Because A, all professionals, all politicians, apart from the celebrities, spoke at the DNC, but they were all kind of, hey, we're here for Hillary, bye. But America, by the way, America last segment we were doing this, America Ferreira knocked it out of the park with her speech. She should have been a keynote speaker. By the way, those speeches by the celebrities happened earlier in the day, and so did that. So did that fight song. Oh my God, dear Lord, no. Oh God, no! Okay. I'm done. Here is Bill Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. He tells us a love story from her and Hillary.
Absolutely, she had him. I've seen it 1,000 times since. And she went back and...
Hang on, we'll try and get the exact moment here for you. We're just having a few...
To middle-class America. Street after street of nice houses, great schools, good parks, a big public swimming pool. And almost all white. I really liked her family. Her crusty conservative father, her rambunctious brothers. 71, I met a girl.
This is the spot. I want to play this, because this is great.
The first time I saw her, we were, appropriately enough, in a class on political and civil rights. She had thick blonde hair, big glasses, wore no makeup. And she exuded this sense of strength and self-possession that I found magnetic. After the class, I followed her out, intending to introduce myself. I got close enough to touch her back, but I couldn't do it. Somehow I knew this would not be just another tap on the shoulder, that I might be starting something I couldn't stop.
Okay.
I saw her several more times in the next few days, but I still didn't speak to her. Then one night, I was in the law library, talking to a classmate who wanted me to join the Yale Law Journal. He said it would guarantee me a job in a big firm or a clerkship with a federal judge. I really wasn't interested. I just wanted to go home to Arkansas. Then I saw the girl again, standing at the opposite end of that long room. Finally, she was staring back at me. So I watched her. She closed her book, put it down, and started walking toward me. She walked the whole length of the library, came up to me and said, "Look, if you're going to keep staring at me, and now I'm staring back, we at least ought to know each other's name. I'm Hillary Rodham. Who are you?" I was so impressed and surprised that, whether you believe it or not, momentarily I was speechless.
This is Bill Clinton telling us a love story about him and Hillary here.
She was wearing a long, white, flowery skirt. And I went up to her, and she said she was going to register for classes for the next term. I said I'd go, too. And we stood in line and talked. You had to do that to register back then. And I thought I was doing pretty well, till we got to the front of the line, and the registrar looked up and said, "Bill, what are you doing here? You registered this morning." I turned red, and she laughed that big laugh of hers. And I thought, well, heck, since my cover's been blown, I just went ahead and asked her to take a walk down to the art museum. We've been walking and talking and laughing together ever since. And we've done it in good times and bad, through joy and heartbreak. We cried together this morning on the news that our good friend and a lot of your good friend, Mark Weiner, passed away early this morning. We built up a lifetime of memories.
There's Bill Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. Wanted to play that for you because it's my show and I can do what I want to. Gave Bill Clinton on my report card here a B. I think it could have been an A. There was no swaying point. I was going to give an A, and I felt like there was something missing from the speech. I feel like there was definitely something missing. I think having like Bill, it's Bill going out there and giving this love story and this long detailed love story, and then rombusting for her, that kind of, I don't know, it didn't really sit with me. It didn't really connect. I don't know. I think there was something too airy fairy about it for me, and it didn't need to be in there. He gave a 45-minute speech on Tuesday night about Hillary Clinton, and I don't know why. I really don't know why. Jump forward to Wednesday. We'll run out of time again with all these people. Joe Biden, Vice President of the U.S., gave his speech This is a bit of sound from Joe Biden, Vice President of the USA, on Wednesday night now.
In 2008, when he was about to deploy to Iraq, and again in 2012, our son Beau introduced me to the country and placed my name in nomination. You got a glimpse. I know I sound like a dad, but you got a glimpse what an incredibly fine young man Beau was. You're here tonight. But as Ernest Hemingway once wrote, the world breaks everyone, and afterwards, many are strong at the broken places. I've been made strong at the broken places by my love, Jill, by my heart, my son, Hunter, and the love of my life, my Ashley, and by all of you. And I mean this sincerely. Those of you who've been through this, you know I mean what I say. By all of you, your love, your prayers, your support. But you know what we talk about? We think about the countless thousands of other people who suffered so much more than we have.
That is Joe Biden there on Wednesday night. I gave Joe Biden an A on his speech. I think he invoked emotion from his speech, the emotion that he needed to evoke from his speech to deliver to the RNC. He really needed to invoke that much from his speech and to tell everyone how the country needs to push forward in regards, we need to move from the sad times into, he turned his speech into a rally for the country and how Hillary Clinton will deliver that for America. I should keep saying the country, but for America. I think it was really, really, really good to have that included as well. I think Joe Biden gets an A from me. It's just a perfect all-round speech. We will get really quickly to Tim Kaine, vice presidential candidate for president.
Tim Kaine.
Oh, Tim Kaine, there you go. Senator Tim Kaine, formally accepted the nomination for vice president.
Thank you, everybody. Hello, Philadelphia. Beautiful wife, Anne, and my three wonderful children, Nat, Woody, and Anella. They're sitting right up there. You know, my and hundreds of friends from Virginia and beyond. I love seeing you front and center. Including my friend of 37 years, Senior Senator Mark Warner.
We'll skip ahead here for Tim Kaine. He didn't come out and accept it straight away. So we'll hear some more sound from Tim Kaine.
At Virginia Tech that killed 32 people from beautiful 19-year-old students to 70-plus-year-old Romanian-born Holocaust survivors. And we shed tears and held each other up, but afterwards we rolled up our sleeves and we fixed a loophole in the background record check system so that we could make our Commonwealth safer. And we got to do that in the nation.
That is Senator Tim Kaine. I gave Senator Tim Kaine a C. I think his speech wasn't really coherent in terms of almost a D. I think Tim Kaine's speech did slam Trump pretty hard. Of course, kind of linked it back to Hillary, but it was just kind of a little bit all over the place in terms of what Tim Kaine really needed to do is kind of give a glowing endorsement to to Hillary Clinton and didn't really kind of do that. He didn't come out and accept the VP nomination straight away. He probably does. Didn't come out and did it straight away. His speech was kind of a little bit all over the place. It's just not really good construction in terms of Tim Kaine. So I gave Tim Kaine a C when it came to his speech. At the bottom of the hour here, we'll get to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Chelsea Clinton, who all gave speeches at the DNC. We are running a little bit behind here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Sunday. So glad that you could be here with us. Now, if you're, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show, excuse me, I didn't do the tease properly. I'm a little bit all over the place. Apologies for that. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Now, ever woke up one morning and had difficulty getting out of bed? Or if you're playing Pokemon Go, the game Pokemon Go, ever felt like you shouldn't have ran into things but have started to and you were looking up? Well, we'll have the answer for you as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. It's 10:20.
Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So glad to be with you, with Dale Campbell. I am Dale Campbell. Hi. How are you? I'm very well. That's good. How's the work? How's the kids? Yeah, they're good. Did you know, though, a little bit of news for your Sunday. Geoscience Australia is moving. Australia is on the move. Ever wondered why you walked into something while playing Pokemon Go? It's not the GPS's fault. Well, it could be, but more than likely not. It's probably because we're moving. And it's starting to cause problems for science, farmers, and self-driving cars. Australian Government Research and Mapping Service Geoscience Australia has begun the task of redrawing the map. Quite literally. Our continent edging its way northwards at a rate of 7 centimetres per year. If you're not in Australia, you can do the conversion. It may not seem like much, but it all starts adding up when you consider Australian locations were aligned to global positioning satellites back in 1994. It's moved 1.5 meters since then. We're actually connected to India and Antarctica 100 million years ago. Quote, "We have to adjust our lines of latitude and longitude so that satellite navigation systems that we all use on our smartphones these days can align with all the digital map information," Geosciences Dan Jasker told the ABC. "While this is not a major problem for mobile phone GPS systems, which are accurate within 5 meters, it started to affect automated agricultural equipment and research tools such as drones. As the concept of self-driving cars catch on, accuracy will be crucial." Quote, "Around the corner in the not too distant future, we are going to have probably driverless cars, or at least autonomous vehicles, where 1.5 meters, well, you're in the middle of the road or even in another lane," Mr. Jasker said. Though mostly Australia says it needs to pinpoint accuracy to measure the rate of rising sea levels. The fresh coordinates are expected to have been calculated and uploaded to GPS systems by January next year. Wow, that is quite impressive. Now, I did not know this, but it's interesting to see, because it sometimes you definitely do have a feeling for it that you know you can kind of. It's like being when you're in a place where you get earthquakes, it feels like the ground is constantly sort of shaking, but you know it's not. It's quite interesting to know that we are sort of on the move, quite literally. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we'll wrap up our coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Plus, we are going to have Olympic fever. That's right. Plus some other housekeeping duties. A lot to cover in the next half hour. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Glad to be with you. It's Dale Campbell here on a Sunday. It's 10:29.
I'll be back. No. My name is no. My sign is no. My number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. No. No. First, you're going to say, you ain't running game. Thinking, I'm believing every word. Call me.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. This is the best thing ever. If you have not ever seen Barack Dubs on YouTube, you really need to check it out. They do dubs of Barack Obama for hit songs every now and again. It's fantastic.
Subscribe and I love you back.
Because it is. It's fantastic. Because hit songs sung by the President of the United States, Barack Obama. I keep saying my. I don't know why I'm doing that. But our Prime Minister, Malcolm, we don't have a president. But our Prime Minister singing songs, that would have been funny. But Barack Obama was indeed at the DNC, and he made a speech. We're going to evaluate his speech as well as the Clintons' speech. Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton also introduced Hillary Clinton as well, and they played the fight song, and yeah, it was fun. But first, let's get to clips of Barack Obama at the National Committee here. Here he is. Actually, we want to play when he first comes out to the audience. No, we don't want that.
Thank you so much, everybody. I love you back.
There you go.
Hello, America. Hello, Democrats. So, 12 years ago tonight, I addressed this convention for the very first time. You met my two little girls, Malia and Sasha, now two amazing young women who just fill me with pride.
That is his opening remarks. We'll get to some of the speech later on in the speech. Here is Barack Obama at the DNC on Wednesday night.
Of freedom and dignity and human rights. He cozies up to Putin, praises Saddam Hussein, tells our NATO allies that stood by our side after 9/11 that they have to pay up if they want our protection. Well, America's promises do not come with a price tag. We meet our commitments. We bear our burdens. That's one of the reasons why almost every country on earth sees America as stronger and more respected today than they did 8 years ago when I took office.
As Barack Obama at the DNC, one final, just taking a little bits and pieces from Barack Obama's speech.
You know, there's been a lot of talk in this campaign about what America has lost. People who tell us that our way of life is being undermined by pernicious changes and dark forces beyond our control. They tell voters there's a real America out there that must be restored. This isn't an idea, by the way, that started with Donald Trump. It's been peddled by politicians for a long time, probably from the start of our republic. And it's gotten me thinking about the story I told you 12 years ago tonight, about my Kansas grandparents and the things they taught me when I was growing up. See, my grandparents, they came from the heartland. Their ancestors began settling there about 200 years ago.
That is Barack Obama. We'll have to move on here. I gave Barack Obama a B for his speech. I nearly gave him an A, but I feel like he was kind of using it a little bit too much for his own personal gain, more so than actually parading around Hillary Clinton. So I gave him a B on that. He did really, really well to kind of appeal to the audience. He always has had this appeal to the audience, but just I feel like he kind of had missed the mark a little bit in terms of what the theme of the night was. Now let's get to the Clintons. First of all, let's get to Chelsea Clinton, Hillary Clinton's daughter. Here she is at the DNC on Thursday.
Is that regardless of what was happening in her life, she was always, always there for me. Every soccer game, every softball game, every piano recital, every dance recital, Sundays spent together at church and the local library, countless Saturdays spent finding shapes in the clouds, making up stories about what we would do if we ever met a triceratops. In my opinion, the friendliest looking dinosaurs, although my mom would always remind me they were still dinosaurs. As a kid, I was pretty obsessed with dinosaurs. And the day that my parents took me to Dinosaur National Park, I didn't think life could get any better. Whenever my mom was away for work, which thankfully didn't happen very often, she left notes for me to open every day she was gone, all stacked neatly together in a special drawer with a date on the front of each one so I would know which note to open on which day. When she went to France to learn about their childcare system, I remember one was all about the Eiffel Tower. Another was about the ideas she hoped to bring home to help the kids of Arkansas.
That is Chelsea Clinton here introducing her mother, Hillary Clinton. I gave Chelsea Clinton a C. I think she did an average job of introducing her mother. I think she did recount tales of of her mother and her having this deeper time, but I don't think, it didn't really seem kind of passionate. I know she's on a teleprompter too, but it kind of felt flat. It heartfelt moments delivered in a monotone. That's what it definitely felt like, to me at least. And now it's time for the big moment. Here are clips from Hillary Clinton's speech. Here's Hillary Clinton Thursday night closing out the Democratic National Convention.
King, and some wanted to stick it to the king. The revolution hung in the balance. Then somehow they began listening to each other, compromising, finding common purpose. And by the time they left Philadelphia, they had begun to see themselves as one nation. That's what made it possible to stand up to a king. That took courage. They had courage. Our founders embraced the enduring truth that we are stronger together.
That is Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. We'll hear more from Hillary Clinton first, and then I'll get to my analysis of her.
Yes. Yes. If you believe that your working mother, wife, sister, or daughter deserves equal pay, join us. Going to make sure this economy works for everyone, not just those at the top. Now, you didn't hear any of this, did you, from Donald Trump at his convention? He spoke for 70 odd minutes, and I do mean odd. And he offered zero solutions. But we already know. He doesn't believe these things. No wonder he doesn't like talking about his plans. You might have noticed I love talking about mine.
That is Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. I gave Hillary Clinton a B. I also gave Donald Trump a B last week, if you remember correctly, on my report card. But I'm going to give Hillary Clinton a B as well for a different reason. I think Hillary Clinton gets a B more so in the presentation of her speech. She kind of does compare herself to Donald Trump a little bit too much, I think. I understand that it is an election and you need to kind of compare yourself to say that you are the better candidate. But I think it kind of harps on the message a little bit too much when Hillary Clinton kind of goes, well, this is Donald Trump, and, well, isn't that odd? Isn't that funny? Ha ha ha. I think her presentation was kind of lackluster. She did also start losing her voice in a speech, which, yeah, I mean, if you want to take water, I mean, hell, I drink water, I'm all out of coffee, but I typically drink water and coffee on the show just to try and make sure that my voice is hydrated throughout the show, and just so I'm not going I mean, it happens that I have to clear my throat on microphone, but it happens to everyone, I guess, but I found it a bit when Hillary Clinton she's one of the four candidates to be president of the USA, one of the two major parties to be president of the USA, and she's clearing her throat on microphone. I just thought that was a little bit too unprofessional. In terms of content, I think the content of it was fine. Kind of did link it back to the theme of the night, but still didn't have an overarching theme, much like Donald Trump didn't have an overarching theme. I think it needed to kind of push it towards that A category and to kind of make sure that she was kind of above Donald Trump's level, giving Hillary Clinton a B. And no, it's not a cop-out to give both of them a B. They get Bs in very, very different territory. Content of Hillary Clinton's was very... Mrs. Clinton this, that it was very, very diagnosis, solution-based, and kind of linking that back to Donald Trump. That is a very, very effective way to do things, but and including that overarching theme probably would have pushed either one of the speeches, or both of the speeches, up to a certain, a new certain level. Want to load up real clear politics here and see what the polls are saying at this point, now that both conventions are over. I think that not enough time has passed for Hillary Clinton to... To push them up at this point. Let's see. Okay, so Trump is up. Clinton is up 1.1 points. Trump got a bump, of course, on July 26th, and kind of lost pretty much all of that bump. After the convention, to have it sit at 44.5, Clinton to 43.4 to Trump, that's the two of them. Let's see, from the 29th of July to the 30th of July, PPP, looks like a Democratic leading poll, has Clinton at 50, Trump at 45, LA Times, University of Southern California has Trump at 46, Clinton at 42. Roosman Reports has Trump at Clinton at 43, Trump at 42. Reuters/Epos has Clinton at 40, Trump at 35. So these are kind of all over the place. So I don't know. It depends on... Yeah, it really depends on where you look at. But the it's getting narrow. And we'll see how the most recent bump from CNN ORC has Trump at 48, Clinton at 45. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see... who gets the bigger bump out of the conventions, for sure. But Trump just didn't hold on to his bump for as long as he probably wanted. That's probably the sad thing for Donald Trump and his supporters. Interesting to see. We are now in a general election. No longer talking about the primaries. We're now talking of a general election. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, we're about to get Olympic fever. Fever. We're less than 7 days away from the Olympics in Rio. Yes, we are. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It's 10:50.
The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Yep, I'm just gonna hit the desk. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. So glad to be with you. Thanks for joining us when you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. It feels like the last 2 hours have gone pretty quickly. I don't know why. I don't know how. I feel like the last segment went way too quickly for that what it should have been. I'm in a natural flow now. I think that's what it is. Which is good, I guess. Anyway, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Well, we're getting Olympic fever. Oh, yes, the Olympics are coming up right around the corner, and I think we'll be covering them here on the Generic Live Show. I think we'll definitely be telling you what Australia's up to in the Olympics. If anything breaks, we'll bring it to you, of course. But take a break from politics. We've been covering politics nonstop for about a month now. But want to give you a little bit of a breather from politics a little bit. But once every 4 years, television network press pause on regular broadcast to make way for the Olympics. It remains one of the biggest events on the small screen, where 2 weeks of almost every eyeball in Australia is drawn to the channel with broadcasting rights. And this year, it's Channel 7. Trying to compete with them would be very, very, very pointless. Quote, in the lead-up to the Olympics, it felt like everyone had been holding up from a programming perspective, said media analyst Nathan Cook of Maximus Global. For the most part, its rivals have delayed the launch of new shows, put existing ones on hold, and rolled out a slew of secondary programs to keep things ticking along until August 22nd. While the ratings for Rio are unlikely to be as big as London 4 years ago or Beijing in 2010, Cook believes that 7 will scoop at least half of the total television nightly primetime. Quote, a pound for pound with London and Beijing, I'd say it wouldn't be as big of a draw card in primetime as it typically is. That's purely down to time zone, Cook said. For the previous games, people would have to rush home for work and watch key live events in huge numbers. For the most part, Rio, it'll be on recaps from the night events earlier in the day. 7 will scoop at least 50% of nightly audience, Cook expects, and will be happy with that result. Quote, during the day, it'll be when it's in line with the time zone in Brazil, 7 will probably get 70-80% of viewing, but of course, it's much smaller audience at that time during the day. 9 programming boss Andrew Backwell said the new season of the renovation reality series The Block, quote, will provide the foundation to the rest of our post-Olympics schedule, unquote. The lineup includes another installment of Married at First Sight, which will feature a same-sex couple this time because, oh well. Australia will be hooked on the explosive new drama Hide and Seek, a gripping thriller about terrorism and national security, so it's topical as well as entertaining, Backwell said. The network has rushed to wrap up flagship drama Love Child, the latest season coming to an end tomorrow night with a double episode. It's going to be incredible too, star Ella Scott Lynch, who plays Shirley, said. Where the story has gone from where it originally started, it is really fabulous. I love how they've expanded it into the 1970s, and audience have such a thirst for it. Network 10 is holding the premiere of its big reality franchise, Australian Survivor, which will kick off shortly after the Olympics and resting popular drama Offspring. However, in a calculated gamble, the broadcaster will run straight through with the latest season of The Bachelor. I think it's smart, Cook said. There's a lot of social media chatter around The Bachelor, so the audience will probably hold steady as it skews strongly female, too. 7 will broadcast Rio across the main channel, plus 7, 2, and 7, Mate, all of which can be live streamed on the computer, tablet, and mobile. In addition, it will show every single competition and live event on an iterative app, network head of sport, Shaul Steinsted, tried to say that carefully, even though I butchered it, I tried to say it carefully. This is an event, an absolute pinnacle, as simple as that, they said. The mammoth task of broadcasting the games will pay big dividends, Cook said. While it's hard to put a dollar figure on amount, he expects that Seven will take 70% more of the total TV advertising spend. So what is that? Some of the post-Olympics lineups on Channel 7 include The Gigglebox, The Block, Zimbo's Just Desserts, and Married at First Sight, which, well... Married at First Sight. That's my reaction to Married at First Sight, by the way. We will... I'll follow the Olympics, as I tend to do, but I don't know to what detail I will be covering it here on the show. We'll find that out together. We probably won't be doing a whole show to it. We'll probably do little bits and bits. We'll probably do it hourly. We'll see. We'll see when it comes up in terms of how much we'll be covering it. But that's all we have to cover here on the show today, though. I'll tell you that much for sure. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show. That's all we have time for, unfortunately. I know. Makes me kind of sad. Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show for a Sunday. I've been Dale Campbell. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thanks for joining us. It's 11 o'clock.
This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AO Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.